From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, May 1st, 2017. And on this day, Governor Paul LePage is suing Attorney General Janet Mills. We will get the details. And we'll visit a Biddeford company that makes products NASA uses to go into space and is expanding into other areas as well. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Law Offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Maine Governor Paul LePage announced late this afternoon that he has taken the unusual step of filing a lawsuit against Maine Attorney General Janet Mills over what he claims is her abuse of power. LePage is a Republican. As we know, he's repeatedly clashed with Mills, a Democrat, who was elected by the Maine legislature in 2013. In a written statement, the governor says that Mills has repeatedly refused to represent the administration in court cases with which she does not agree politically. According to LePage, this has left state agencies, including the executive branch, without legal representation and resulted in Maine taxpayers being required to spend, quote, hundreds of thousands of dollars in outside attorney fees. Mel Leary has long been following the simmering dispute between the governor and Mills. He joins us now from the State House. Mel, how you doing?
How you doing, Nora?
Good. So what is going on? What's the governor alleging in this abuse of power lawsuit?
This goes back. It's interesting we have the immigration rally in Portland this evening because this goes back to the two immigration orders that have come out from President Trump. The governor wanted to file an amicus brief, and he wanted the attorney general to write it for him. Well, the attorney general, as we know, had intervened on the other side of the first immigration order that the president had and had joined in an amicus brief that said that it was wrong and should be overturned, which, of course, the federal court in Hawaii did put a stay on that immigration order. But what the real issue here is, he wanted the attorney general to provide the legal representation to him. Well, she doesn't have to do that. And she instead offered to say, to allow him to hire his own attorney to file this amicus brief. The governor declined and said that it should be paid for by her office, not his office. So the real crux of this appears to be who pays to file an amicus brief in a lawsuit. Now, again, amicus brief is simply a friend of the court brief. You're adding your opinion to those of others that are arguing the actual merits of the case before a court.
Okay, so this lawsuit was just filed a little while ago this afternoon. What does Attorney General Mills say about it?
Well, the attorney general was caught by surprise. She had not been served with the lawsuit, copy of the lawsuit. In fact, she received her copy through the media. She was not happy about that, as you might guess, and she read the governor's complaint that was filed by a private attorney. And she told reporters just a few minutes ago that she really doesn't see what he's talking about.
Sounds like much ado about nothing, frankly. We've told him if he wants to take a position in these suits, how to do it at no cost to the state of Maine, no cost to the taxpayers. Instead, he has hired a lawyer to draft and file an 11-page complaint arguing about what?
Okay, so she does not think much of the suit. What's the next step?
Well, the next step is the governor has filed the suit, so the attorney general will respond to that lawsuit in Superior Court. This has the potential for going on for months before it's finally resolved. And undoubtedly, whoever fails in this lawsuit in the Superior Court will take it to the state Supreme Court, the law court. What's interesting there is the attorney general released a whole group of letters back and forth between her and the governor and the governor's office, in which she clearly laid out the process by which he could go out and hire a lawyer that she would approve, which she has to do under state law. And the real issue still boils down in all of these letters to who's going to pay the legal fees for the lawyer. The attorney general saying it's not a legitimate expense for her office. It should be picked up by the governor. She also released a 1989 state law court opinion in which it clearly gives broad discretion to her office, to whoever holds the office of Attorney General, to decide which cases they will become involved with and which cases they will authorize for an independent counsel to be hired. The numbers of those are great. There's a great number of them across state government. For example, in workers' compensation cases, a lot of outside attorneys are hired and authorized, and they're paid for by the Workers' Compensation Board, not by the Attorney General's office.
Okay, well, confusing. I'm sure we'll be following up on that, and it'll probably be even more twisty and turny as time goes on. Thank you so much, Mel.
Thank you, Nora.
Now, the $1 trillion congressional funding compromise that would keep the U.S. government running through September 30th will also include thousands of slots for additional H-2B seasonal visa workers. What does this mean for Maine? The program is currently capped at 33,000 workers for each half of the fiscal year. Senators Angus King and Susan Collins said in a prepared statement that the proposed compromise would nearly double the number of workers under the cap. And at the Bar Harbor Chamber of Commerce, Executive Director Martha Searchfield says local business owners hope lawmakers will act quickly to bolster the summer workforce. Congress could vote on the bill on Wednesday, and President Donald Trump says he will sign it. In the pre-dawn hours of August 6, 2012, the Mars rover Curiosity made a successful landing on a distant planet. One reason it made it intact was that a heat shield protected the rover from temperatures that released 1,600 degrees as it careened into Mars' atmosphere. The tiles for that heat shield were made in Biddeford, Maine. Patty White brings us more on the company that plays an integral role in the country's defense and space programs and is now expanding into other realms.
It's called Fiber Materials, Inc., or FMI, and that heat shield was made out of their decades-long specialty, carbon fiber composites. FMI President Rob Pearson says the idea is pretty basic.
You know, composites were developed several thousand years ago, and if you think about it, it was mud and sticks making adobe.
Think of a spool of yarn that's made of carbon instead of wool. Carbon fiber is both lightweight and strong, so you often see it used in sporting equipment like kayaks and bikes. But what makes FMI unique is that it has a process that can weave carbon fibers together into a three-dimensional form. Dan Godbout, director of marketing, opens the door to FMI's weaving area.
This is a highly skilled area of the process where you're actually manually weaving carbon fiber in three and sometimes four different directions. And that's what really gives the strength of the materials that we're providing.
And it's all done by hand. About 40 employees stand at workstations that have a preformed hexagon or cylinder shape made out of thin metal rods. At one workstation, Jackie Tavares and Wendy Dewing stand on opposite sides of a hexagon and trade a giant needle about as long as a ruler back and forth through the form. They're weaving the carbon fiber between the metal rods.
You can't really see what you're doing. Is it hard to do this?
No. Nope, not at all. If you go in between the rods the wrong way, you can feel it.
As the fibers are woven front to back, side to side, and top to bottom, they compress the metal rods, which tends to push them down, so weavers tamp the rods back into place. Ultimately, those rods will come out, and carbon fiber is woven where they used to be. The look and feel of this weaving room harkens back to a different era in Maine, when textile and shoe manufacturing were booming. That's actually what brought FMI to the state. It started in Massachusetts in 1969, but within a couple of years, the founder moved the company to Maine to harness the craftsmanship of the manufacturing workforce.
My name is Laurette Cody. I'm the supervisor on weaving department.
Laurette Cody was one of those early employees. She's worked at FMI for 45 years.
My first job was working in the textile factory, and then I came here. That's just my second job.
It's a job that has to be done perfectly. After a preform is woven, it's x-rayed. If even one fiber is missing, it's reworked. Then the form goes through something called a densification process so it can be machined into components to make things like heat shields for NASA missions or rocket nozzles for the Department of Defense.
Just right there, I think that's kind of, that job is special because we're trying to keep everybody safe, yourself safe, your family, everybody safe.
And now FMI is hoping to use its 3D technology to propel it into the commercial realm with a new composite called Polymer Matrix, made with more affordable materials that are auto-woven. President Rob Pearson says, again, it's the 3D shape that sets this new composite apart so it can be used in new ways, from parts for Formula One race cars to prosthetics.
For example, on a prosthetic, the nodes at the knee and the ankle, if you have a above-the-knee amputation, that prosthetic has a lot of load at the nodes, which is the knee and the ankle. Right now, they're all titanium and stainless steel. We're two times the strength-weight ratio of titanium. So you can have a lighter component that can handle very high loads. And there's no one else that are doing it the way that we do it right here in Biddeford, Maine.
This new technology is a finalist for a New England Innovation Award. Pearson says he wants to see the 180-employee company grow. But as it develops new products, FMI is still focused on its core. Currently, it's building components for a heat shield for the Mars 2020 rover mission. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, May 1st, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.